You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is By Appointment Only. I actually found a little plaque that you can put at your house that says, Friends Welcome Relatives By Appointment Only. Maybe you feel that way certain times of the year, around the holidays especially. Let's start in Psalm 33. Let us read this. Verse 12, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. How is that even possible? Israel couldn't even pull this off back in the day. And if you read through the Old Testament, just little verses after verses, and so-and-so became king, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And then a verse later, 40 years, 50 years later, this guy's the king, did what's right in the sight of the Lord. And then, bam, the next guy, so-and-so did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And you get back and forth, but they're still told to trust God, and they're still his people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. So, here he talks about the numbers of people's not going to fix it. Even if you got horses or the tools of war that give you some kind of advantage, that is not what ultimately causes someone to win. And you say, well, it's always who's got the most weapons and the most people. Not scripturally. God will pare down an army to 300 people to take another army and prove that it's not about the number, it's about him. Go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It does not say don't put confidence in man, but what does it say? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or these people that are over you. Better to trust in the Lord. Go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. You say, well, this is my hope. This person, she, he, they were going to fix it all, and now all my hopes are dashed. If that's all you got, you're in trouble. Your hope is not in a politician or a person. Your hope is in him. And if it's not, there needs to be an adjustment. Go to Jeremiah 17. I think we're still moving left to right. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. That sounds like you're out there all by yourself in a pretty rough spot. And who is that person? The person who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, like the guy in the desert. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So what do? You stay near the river. You stay planted where God wants you to be planted. But how do you end up planted there? You trust in the Lord. Now, let's go back to the political thing. You say, well, I don't have to trust in the Lord. My person won. You still got a problem. Because you're putting your confidence and your hope and saying, oh, they're my savior, they're the salvation, they're going to turn it around, they're going to fix it. No one's fixed it yet. And just when you thought it was getting easy, turn to Jeremiah 27. Now, I'm about to read you something straight out of Scripture, and if you've never seen this or seen it this way or read it, period, this is extraordinary stuff. This will help you, though it may mess you up a little bit. Jeremiah 27, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters. So this is God speaking, saying, tell them this is what I said. I have made the earth, the man and the beasts that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field I have also given to serve him. Now Nebuchadnezzar, go do a little study on Nebuchadnezzar. This guy is a nightmare. You think we got trouble from time to time in our country. This guy is a king, and God says, I have given him what he has. Keep reading. So all the nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, and your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. Well, what's God doing? You know what? Whatever he's doing is what he's doing. You say, I don't understand. You're never going to understand till you get there. He said, but I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm telling you guys, at some point, the reason that faith is required is because you can't know. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And so at some point, that's why trust is so huge. You say, I just can't let go because I don't like what I see. Sooner or later, you have to trust him. Keep reading. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Also, I spoke to the priest and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. And you say, well, how can I serve God, trust God, and serve some crazy king at the same time? Because that's how it works. Now, there's tons of places, and what gets us in trouble most of the time as Christians and as people is we find out what God says and we go, I don't like that. God says, do this. Say, I don't want to do that. Stop this. I don't want to stop this. Start doing this. No, I want to do what I'm doing. And it turns out I see person after person, including myself, who butt up against this their whole lives are finally at some point say uncle so they can finally say father. I can't do this anymore. I'll yield to you. And when you yield, you say, yeah, but what if I end up in some God-forsaken place? You already live in a God-forsaken place in many ways. And what if it doesn't go well and he makes me do a bunch of stuff? Your life sucks already. How could it get worse? And even if it does get worse, if you're trusting him and following him, it can't get better than that, even if you suffer. And that's part of the deal. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid waste? But if they are prophets and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. make sure that they don't do what you're saying they do. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Now, I don't have time to read the whole book of Daniel. I highly recommend, of all the stuff I'm going over, go home and read Daniel today. And if you want to see what it's like for a follower of God to end up in a place under authority that they don't like and don't even agree with everything that's going on, but God protects and preserves and literally saves them, sometimes you die, sometimes you live. And sometimes you're delivered miraculously because you will not back down. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true? And a little background here, Daniel and three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and what's the other guy's name? Mishael, right? These three guys are taken captive, taken to Babylon. They're some of the sharpest, nice looking, whatever they are, and they get picked to be part of this elite group that goes in, and the king and his court, they're trying to feed them all the stuff of Egypt, and they make a simple request. They look, we understand you're trying to get us healthy and feed us the good food. Let's just try this. Let us eat what we're allowed to eat according to our faith. And if we're not strong and we're not up and running, then okay, but let's give this a try. They agree to it, and they're as strong as everybody else is not stronger. So here they go. Now they're trying to live out their faith in an ungodly place with this Nebuchadnezzar guy as the king. And if you read the whole story, the king has set up some image. Somebody gave him this great idea to worship him and not God. And so everybody's got to bow down. They refuse to bow down. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. So he'd say, when you hear the music, everybody's got to bow. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now, obviously, he didn't know there was someone who could deliver them from his hands. Now, look at Daniel chapter 4. And I'm reading a little bit ahead that there's some dreams involved here. Let's just jump in at verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? If you hear those things coming out of your mouth, it's probably not going to go well. Me, my majesty, not going to go well. While the word was still in the king's mouth, and remember, this is the guy that God put in place. He's the guy. Follow him. You know, I am on him. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. This isn't some prophet coming in. A voice from heaven speaks to him. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Now, guys, whether you get it or like it or not, God decides. You say, well, what about a place like North Korea? Did God put those nutcases in place? Absolutely. You say, but that's horrific. If you're going to find one spot where it doesn't work, it's not true. You say, well, what is he doing? I don't know, but it's not my problem. You say, but what about all those people suffering? What about all these people that were suffering? Their lives are being threatened because of this crazy man. Keep reading. So what's the point? You will know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. So I've pulled it from you. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He looked like a crazy man and began to behave like an animal. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, now look at how this turns around. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Slightly different story. And look what comes out of his mouth. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his way justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. You say, but what about the proud? What about, you know what? Let God be God. I got enough trouble doing what he's telling me to do. Oh, they should be doing that. This is not right. You know what? Climb in your closet and see if you're okay before you start solving the world's problems. We are the world's problems. I am the world's problem, because if I was living what I'm supposed to be living, chasing after God, holy, godly life, then I would let my light so shine that they would see my good works, because there would be good works to see, and all the glory would go to God. They'd glorify him. So something is not working with me already, or the world will be changed way more than it's being changed. Go to Romans chapter 13. Now, as you're turning there, let me just remind you, I'm reading you scripture, and the natural man, the natural mind is not inclined to go with scripture. You go, if you're walking in the flesh, even as a Christian, you read it all, you go, I know it says that, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna raise hell, I'm gonna complain, I'm gonna do whatever I wanna do because I don't like it. You are out of control. And until you get under God's authority, you can't be under anybody else's authority the way you're supposed to be, even scripturally. Look at Romans chapter 13. Let's go with verse 1. And this is extraordinary stuff. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So it is by appointment only that you end up in these places. You say, but this person's an idiot, they're evil, they're whatever they are. Then complain to God. It always is fascinating to me how who we pick reflects who we are. We don't pick these people out of nowhere. Somebody somewhere must reflect who we're picking. So if you don't like who you end up with, then do something about who you are. And if our hearts are changed, we repent, we do what God wants us to do, you'd be amazing how different leaders would be raised up, because the people picking are different people. Sometimes the person that God puts in place is a whooping, because that's what we need, is a whooping. And I happen to know, for some reason along the way, some of the options that we have had. And I think there are better options than the ones we pick. But you know what? It's not me making the appointment. You say, how can we have these great godly options? Because there aren't enough great godly people to pick them. But in spite and in light of all that, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you, both for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now, therefore be subject. You must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers according to continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. You say, but I don't even respect the person. You can honor someone without respecting them. See, I'm not saying that if we do what the Bible says, everything's going to go great. Go back. I'm telling you, go read Daniel. It doesn't go well. And the king that was put in place is put there by God, and everyone's told if someone tells you different, they're lying to you. So you say, but this system is jacked up, it's faulty, there's bad people. You know what? I am one of the bad people. My heart, my mind, we all have propensities. We have capacity for evil. And God knows this, because he says, well, you know, somebody commits adultery. He says, hey, forget that. I'm telling you, if you think it in your mind, you're just as guilty as the person who did it. So all of a sudden, the intent of our heart gets involved. We're like, no, now we don't like that, because technically I didn't do any of those things in that little list, but we're eaten up with it inside. I get that it can go wrong, but it doesn't mean that God does not have systems in place. Last one, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And here is the troubling word. Therefore, submit. We hate this stuff until we do it, and then life goes better. I spent a lot of time in school, elementary a little bit, high school a lot, outside the door of my classroom, hiding from the principal who patrolled the halls. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the class clown. I wanted to have fun. That didn't work out in that classroom really well. She's trying to teach, and I'm creating problems. So you know what? She removes me so she can do her job. You say, but that's all so funny. It's not very funny, as it turns out, because I'm not learning much in the hall hiding from the principal, tucked up against the wall like she's not going to find me. Submit. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's never worked out for you. Why don't you try his way? Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, ultimately for his sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. You say it doesn't always work out that way. I get that. But in the majority of the cases when things are working, then it does work out. I know you can give me instances in history with Hitler and all these things. I get all that. But even Hitler, listen, even Hitler was put there by God. You say that's crazy stuff. Give me a verse for something else. You got no verse for something else. He allows it. It's by appointment only. You say, well, that's just not possible. How hard is it for God? Go back and read Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Dude, your time's up. Bam, he's dead. God can kill a king. He can drop him on the spot if he's done. Why would he leave him alive? There must be some reason. I don't get it. I don't get it either sometimes, but I'm going to trust him. Submit yourselves, kings, governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. How many people come to me and go, could you help me discover what the will of God is? Well, okay, how about this? Even your sanctification that you abstain from sexual, you can't sleep with your girlfriend anymore. Oh, no, I didn't mean that kind of will of God. I don't want to know about that. I'm talking about where he wants me to work. Or what does he want me to do with my life? Okay, well, let me go back to the ones I know about. He doesn't want you sleeping with your girlfriend. I got that in print. You'd be amazed if you do the stuff that is in print, all of a sudden you get answers on the other stuff. Like, boom, what happened? It's all getting so simple. I hear God speaking because you're willing to submit to what he says. Literally, it is written here. Why do you do all this? Submit, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
And I've mentioned this before, but I've lived overseas growing up, and I don't think this will ever change. The flag comes up, and something happens to me. You say, well, you're a Christian first, but I am still an American. And it says here clearly the honor of the king or the people in authority. And no matter whether I like the president at the time or not, when there's a State of the Union and that back door opens and the herald says, the president of the United States of America, I get choked up just saying it out loud. You say, but what if you don't like the person? It has nothing to do with it. I respect the office. And if you don't respect the office of the captain of your salvation, you're going to fall apart everywhere else. If you can't follow his orders and submit, you're going to be in trouble. And what is the no-brainer thing he says to do? To trust him. Hebrews says this, it is appointed, another appointment, unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You have another appointment coming. And if you do not submit your very soul, your very life, your very eternity to him, you're not going to make it. Forget not making it here. You won't make it in eternity. So you confess you're a sinner. Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead for you. You accept eternal life, abundant life. He moves in. You say, I'm wrong. You're right. I trust you.
That's simple.
And people always say to me, well, it just can't be that easy. And my answer is, easy for who?
Easy for us.
But it's not so easy for Jesus, because it cost him his life to get this deal done.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.